Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Well, it's time for the fellas, the roster. Now you've got a full roster that the Texans are going to play the season with, and you got a P squad roster, 16 guys on the P squad, practice squad that is, and then you got 53 on the roster. We announced, or they announced, all of the final roster yesterday. I think a couple of things that stood out was they kept 7 wide receivers, and in that wide receiver room there was no Noah Brown. They moved on from him. They kept 5 running backs: Damian Pierce, Cam Akers, Dari Agumbawale, obviously Joe Mixon, and then British Brooks was the undrafted rookie that made this football team. I think that's a fullback move. Those are the two things of note on the offensive side of the football. And then defensively, it's less about the actual roster and more about injuries, with particularly at the linebacker position. Christian Harris is not going to be ready to start the season, so that linebacker room is going to be Henry Toa-Toa, Azeez Al-Shaair, and then we'll see from there, boys. I don't know exactly what that is going to look like. Here is D'Amico Ryans. He spoke this morning, I believe. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about the overall roster construction and what that process of cutting down the roster, how it all went and what it feels like now.
And on the roster cuts and decisions we make, is definitely tough. Right? We'd love to keep everyone. Loved all the guys that we were able to work with. All those guys, right, belong in the league. They worked the right way, made of the right stuff. So, we're hopeful that, we can get some guys back on our practice squad. If not, hopefully those guys land on another team somewhere. So pulling for all those guys, all the difficult decisions, difficult conversations we had to have, right, just still pulling for all those guys to make it in the NFL.
Yeah, Ron, this has got to be one. I think the type of coach that D'Amico is, former player, got to be the worst day of the year for him, in a sense of having to tell guys that their time has come up here. You tread lightly. You hope you don't crush somebody's dreams. You hope they do take heed of your word and continue to grind and continue to work and hopes of jumping on with somebody else, man. But I'm gonna tell you, it's an absolute monster, man. You come out of college, you've been hand fed really in terms of nutrition and working out and everything you need. All you got to do is show up. You don't even have to think. Just show up and do what they tell you to do. You get to the league, you finally get with a football team, more of the same. You show up, they tell you exactly what to do. The less you say, the better. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get cut. And now you've got to either pay for your own nutrition, or you got to You got to do it, a nutritionist, or you got to do it yourself. You got to find a trainer, or you got to go work out for yourself. So all of a sudden, you've got to do things yourself, and you're used to getting it done at an elite level from big-time college football and the NFL. Man, it's an absolute game changer. Some guys can handle it. I know I couldn't. Now, that's where I really, really struggled was trying to stay in shape, keep my mind right, keep my mind in a place where it's like, hey, I'm still going to play ball. I can still play ball. Let me keep working. Let me blindly keep grinding. That was a tough ask, man. So there's a lot of guys out there now that there's almost 1,000 guys around the NFL that have been released and are going to have to find their way onto a practice squad, find their way into one of these developmental leagues, which luckily there are a lot of them. The Canadian League will be looking for a lot of them. In fact, last time we were out there, there's an old boy that the Edmonton Eskimos, man, one of their scouts here in the States that actually scouted me back in the day, was on the sideline for a lot of my football games. Hell, he was on the sideline for I think it was the joint practice over here with the Texans. So there'll be plenty of opportunities. But got to be a rough day for D'Amico Ryans. As I mentioned with this particular roster, there were a couple of things that stood out. I think one of them, it always stands out when an undrafted rookie makes the football team, especially when that undrafted rookie makes the football team at a position where you thought it was going to be tough to keep all their halfbacks, the tailbacks, and you thought they would definitely keep Andrew Beck or Hairston or one of these fullback type guys before they would lean into an undrafted rookie. But British Brooks, that undrafted rookie, he is on this team. He is in the running back room, and he is I think going to be the fullback. He showed some serious pop. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about really what it was that British Brooks did to kind of start turning the heads of this coaching staff.
For us, it's a thorough evaluation. I know to everyone else, it seems like, oh, he just made the team. But, you know, we've been evaluating our guys since rookie minicamp, since he first came in, and British has done a great job since he hit the grass. You know, he's been on it. He's been detailed in his approach, and he's been locked in. So that's a culmination. It's not just, you know, British making a block versus the Rams, and he makes the team. That's not the case. It's what he's done over his entire time of being here, how he studies, how he prepares, his toughness, his dedication to the work. That's why he deserved to make the team.
Nick Caserio also spoke about British Brooks, and Ron, it sounds like the guy is mature beyond his years. He's not just a guy that somehow had 2 touchdowns against the Giants and then came in and had a couple of big plays and a chin check block of a defensive lineman, which I'll respectfully disagree, D'Amico Ryans. Now, I think British Brooks probably did everything he needed to do to put himself in position for one play to allow him to make this football team.
Yeah.
Cause clearly he is a very mature dude, and Nick Caserio said he can play multiple positions. He can run the whole offense. He knows the whole playbook, yada, yada, yada. But the beauty of it is you put yourself in that position and then you show a level of physicality that nobody on his team, let's be honest, nobody on his team has shown consistently for damn sure over the last couple of years. That gets you at least a hotel room. That's going to get you a short stay. I don't know if it's a month. I don't know if it's a year. I don't know what it looks like, but it's going to get you a minute, Ron. The British Brooks kid, it's interesting because I do think he's going to fill the fullback role. And if you really look at what he brings to this table, is a somewhat of a threat, right? I mean, he's the physicality's there. And then as we saw in the Giants game, he's a fullback that can tote the rock. You know, I understand that Andrew Beck ran a kickoff back. I understand that Andrew Beck was a veteran and has done some nice things. I don't know that he has running back game, like legit running back game in his bag. British Brooks does. You know, I mean, this is a guy that brings an element to this roster that I don't know that is there otherwise, because they cut Andrew Beck, they cut Hairston.
Oh, I know he brings an element.
Yeah.
I know he can put his head in there and lead block better than anybody. I mean, listen, I don't know how consistent, but nobody has done that. What he did to old number 93 for the Rams, dang it, nobody has done any of that.
Well, the interesting part of that, Ron, is let's just say he ran into it, okay? I mean, that just, to me, that's...
Again, nobody. Nobody yes. at the fullback spot has... No fullback or tight end.
Well, it just blows my mind that nobody in general has ran into one of those decleaters, pancakers, however you want to say it. It's just wild. The lack of physicality up front, and really not up front, across the board, with this offense has been baffling. And British Brooks, like I said, I respectfully disagree. I think that hit on that number 93, that D lineman for the Rams, definitely solidified, helped them make some decisions, if you will. If we flip the script as it goes to the final roster, on the defensive side of the football, it's not about a number game. It's about who is and who is not there. The final roster did not consist of Christian Harris. He is on, they say IR for Christian Harris.
Mm-hmm. He officially, so he's got to miss at least 4 weeks.
So he is not available in that linebacker room. So I think that is a real point of emphasis here of who gets those snaps. I know Henry Toa-Toa. In fact, D'Amico Ryan's pretty matter-of-factly told us Henry Toa-Toa is going to get those snaps. But I got to think that with keeping six or seven linebackers, they're going to rotate guys through. I've said before I really like Delshon Phillips, but we'll see how that rotation looks. Here's D'Amico Ryan's on the linebacker room itself moving forward, again, without, you know, standout Christian Harris.
Yeah, feel good about linebacker room. Feel good. It's not about, for me, it's never about one position. It's about our defense, like, collectively. Like, how do 11 guys fit together? And that's what it's all about. I feel really good about our defense and where we are. Pulling for Christian to get back in due time.
Looking forward to Christian Harris. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking forward to see what these other cats bring to the table.
Are you?
Tad bit nervous about it, but I'm interested. Because, look, I mean, you just, we've said it before, Ron, like, In 2024 football, the more Christian Harris, and I know everybody's not Christian, but the more like uber athletic, maybe a little undersized linebackers you have, the better off you're going to be. Those guys aren't walking. Those guys didn't get cut. Those guys made teams everywhere you look, right? You're going to have to trade for those guys if you're even going to flirt with one of them that's young and unproven. So I'm anxious to see what some of these young guys or unproven guys can bring to the table, because in this first month of the season, if they discover one of these linebackers is a guy that's going to separate himself a little bit in that athletic role, well, that would be huge moving forward for this team. They got to have that.
Yeah, that's the part is he had the ability and a skill set that nobody else kind of brings to the table. His ability, like their entire, and I know I harken back to this, but their entire game plan against the Ravens seemed to predicate on his ability, his unique ability to be able to be athletic enough to be left alone one-on-one and to handle and despite Lamar Jackson, maybe the number one player in the sport of football in terms of the quarterback position being tough to bring down, being tough to tackle in the open field. And he was really coming on. It wasn't just that in the run game. He had really started to come on from the middle part of the season. And they don't have that. And they got to figure out that guy. And Henry Toa-Toa and Hanson and the guys that you think they could plug in there are just different skill set players than he is.
Yeah, they you know, last year Cashman kind of came along and showed the ability. Hopefully that guy that has looked to be just a special teams guy right now and a depth player right now can stand up and be a difference maker. We'll see exactly what comes out of how it all unfolds when rubber meets the road with that linebacker squad. On the flip side of the roster, Ron, we got the P squad. They announced the P squad. I'm with you. I'm not going to go down the list of the practice squad guys. There are some familiar names on there. I think the one that sticks out is, and it sticks out because, in my opinion, Blake Fisher, the tackle right now, that is your swing tackle. The only other tackle on this roster beyond Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil is a rookie that the jury's still out on. We'll see what he brings to the table. I love the fact that they were able to bring Cam Irving back on the practice squad. I love the insurance policy if you get too injured. I love the insurance policy if you end up having to use Blake Fisher and Blake Fisher's not quite ready. You do have at least one tackle in the building that's in your system and grinding. So I think that's the one P squad note that stands out.
No, yeah, because as I said, at least early, I think obviously Blake Fisher, the more work, the more reps he gets, and the more reps he gets against, you know, Will Anderson and Autry and Danielle Hunter is going to make him better. But if they're anywhere close to a situation like they were last year where I think they used three, maybe three tackles and one of them, and hell, I think I think both their starting tackles may have been out in that first game, but Tunzel was out, and they used three tackles in the game, and none of them were Tunzel and Titus Howard last year in game one. I don't know that he may be as well equipped to go immediately. I think the more he gets reps with those guys, he'll be ready to go. So as you said, I think that is a good insurance policy just in case to have a veteran who's played tackle. Not as talented as Blake Fisher, but a guy who's been there.
Well, like most insurance policies, hopefully we pay for them and we don't ever have to use them. But if we do, Cam Irvin makes me a little bit more comfortable about the tackle position. Fellas, let's shift gears and talk about these Stros, who, by the way, after four up six, which I think I may have called that when Tyler was talking about the Astros over.
Oh,
earlier.
You hit the nail on the head, bro.
I think I said 6-4, but the Astros are up 6-0. Last time I looked up, Yordan Alvarez went yard. Real quick, boys. It's the Astros have what'd you say they've lost six of the last eight, and it's been a little bit of a struggle. They're still 3.5 game lead over the Mariners. There's 30 games left in the regular season here, boys. I didn't realize we were that close. I didn't realize we were that close to the end of this thing. I feel a lot better about the Astros once I read that, and I was like, damn, we're closer than I thought. So. I feel better. I'm still going to ride that the Astros are going to extend this lead in the division out and win it healthily, which they're on the way to do. Obviously, they're in a little rough patch, but they'll be all right. They got some monster series left.
Cream always rises to the top.
I don't know that the schedule, other than the in division games that you have with the A's and the Angels and the Mariners, which there's a handful of them. Other than that, you've got some pretty tough series. Coming down the stretch here, you either have really tough series out of the division or you have can't lose series in the division. So they're all going to be big moving on out. Where are y'all at right now with the Astros? Where are y'all at with the Astros? And I'm talking about making another run to ALCS number 8 and another World Series kind of deal. Where's the confidence meter at
on
the drive,
time.
Boys?
That's where my confidence is, 7 effing times, bro.
So you're at no sweat. They're right where they need
I'll
to be.
I'll be more specific. No, not no sweat. But if anyone can make it to an eighth straight, it's this squad. It's that big man we just saw hit a home run. It's Justin Verlander. It's Jose Altuve. It's Bregman. So I'm in a good place right now with the Stros, even though they've lost 6 of these last 8.
Where are you at, Pissy Ron?
Up yours first. I'd say,
I saw the wheels turning, boy.
I'd say a 6 or 7. They've got elements of what you need in the postseason. Pitching, obviously, and they have a capable bullpen. Especially, you add Hector Neris and those guys, if it's used right. Management and the manager becomes more of a bigger deal in the postseason, so there's some issues potentially there.
They've got more holes
in this lineup that kind of concern you. We'll see what Kyle Tucker looks like if he gets back. They got more holes in the lineup. That pitching is one that can drag them a big way. So I'm at about a 6 or 7.
Hey, this Gamel kid though is filling a nice little hole in that lineup though. I'm impressed with this dude. He's had like numerous multi-hit games since joining the Astros. This Gamel guy.
Yeah, we'll see. He hit a bomb today too, didn't he?
Yeah, he hit one out.
It got called back. But,
oh, did it? Okay, yeah. Look, here's guys. I'm at zero problem. I love where the Stros are at right now.
You said zero problems.
Zero problems.
Young fella.
I've got the biggest question for this squad this season was going to be starting pitching. And that concern didn't do anything but grow when guys started dropping out like flies and Verlander gets injured. And through all that, these guys are pitching as well as any rotation in the game right now. And I believe Tucker's coming back. And I believe that the bats are not going to be a reason why the Astros don't make another ALCS and don't make a push at another World Series. I'm Astro arrogant. I'm at a 10. I think they stretch this lead out of the division.
Spot. I didn't think I'd have you.
Joe is a non-factor. Joe is a non-factor for me. I think the way these guys are pitching. The way these guys are pitching, the way they hopefully will be hitting at that point in time, I don't think Joe is a factor for me.
So you
I'm at
zero,
10.
Zero level of concerns. You're at 10.
Zero concern, big fella.
You're a little lower than that at, what, like a 9?
Level of concern? Probably a 3.8.
But you do the math, that's 6.2 if you flip it. So he's at a 6.2.
I don't think he means to be that low. I think
we're all about educating.
I do too.
I think, yeah,
absolutely. I think he'd compute that a little different.
Yeah, I think his confidence that they could get to. I would guess that Tyler's confidence that they could get to another ALCS, if we said 10 at the most confident, would be like a 9.
I mean, in all seriousness, those guys, they've made this run. They've gotten back on top of the AL West. Without the Tucker, with the piles of bodies that were starting arms for this team, like, I feel very good about it.
That's what I said. I think you're undercutting yourself. I think you're at like a 9. I think you're higher than that.
I thought the lower it was, the less concerned I was.
Your boy Gamble's so hot, he just checks. He just checks when
you. I'm telling you.
Clint's at a 10. I think you're at a 9. And realism comes in at a 6.
Realist Ron.
Comes in at 6. Coming up, you'll hear that bomb as Yordan made Tyler money. The only thing he bet, and Yordan made Tyler money. You'll hear Yordan's bomb. And up the middle, you talked about it a little with the linebackers. Up the middle, remember, Brandon Scott, Texas report coming up at 4:40, so stay tuned for that. A lot rolling as we continue to roll here on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Through 3 2/3. This ball skied into left field. That'll send Austin Hayes back. He's near the wall. He looks up. It's gone. The big man does it again on the road. Yordan Alvarez, home run number 26 on the year. And the Astros, with a 5-run fourth, lead it 6-0.
There it is, 6-0, and the Astros are looking to add to it now with even more as they get a leadoff hit again from Zach DiCenzo to kick things off in the sixth. They lead 6-0, top of the sixth. And Clint just broke the microphone. They lead 6-0. Oh, maybe it's fixable. No, he won't. It's not.
Astros got 13 hits today, too, by the way.
13 hits. And by the way, something developing. 13 hits in the through five. Five innings as they hit in the top of the sixth, but also developing. We talked about it before the game started. Spencer Urgetti, they need him to have a big day. Could help with this offense. Struggling, need him to have a big day. And boy, is he. He is through five. No hits, no hitter going right now.
Wow, 3-5,
dude. 8 strikeouts to 2 walks. He has been dominant thus far against this lineup, against one of the best lineups in baseball. He has been able to do that thus far. So he is doing his job right now. No hitter through 5 innings, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks, 54 pitches, right? You think 8 strikeouts, he wouldn't be as pitch efficient. So he's in pretty good shape right now with a potential special afternoon happening right now.
He's got command of that zone today, Ron.
In Philly, he
it's
does.
It's nice.
I like how you put my name at the end of it.
He's put a real emphasis on it.
No, I've been watching this fool, and he is hitting his spots.
I agree with you.
Did you have strikeouts?
He's got command of that, on that zone today, Ron. My name at the end of it. But we'll keep you updated, up to what the Astros abreast to what Spencer Urgetti is doing once again. Through 5, no hits, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks. He has been special thus far, looking like Lance McCullers over there in that dugout, that long hair boy.
But you can see him on the mound, so he doesn't really look.
No,
he
doesn't look like in saying. A uniform. Just his look.
Bury me in the H. And,
Taking a look there. All right, Clint. Yesterday we were discussing it when the news hit that Christian Harris was going to be out for at least four weeks on the IR. He's out, and when you combine that with the interior defensive line questions that I know you had coming into the year, and I think we still have coming into the year. I think we feel better. I think we feel better. We talked about Mario Edwards. We feel better about some of the guys they have in there. But still some questions when you have up the middle before the season for multiple weeks. You're going to be without Denico Autry, who was a part of the plan there, and you're going to be without Christian Harris moving forward. Yeah. Where's your concern at with that up the middle? Because you brought that up yesterday, which I thought was a good potential topic conversation to think about them up the middle.
Well, I mean, if anything, it's increased. I mean, look, after free agency and after the draft, this was a position on his football team that I would think that D'Amico and Nick expected to address more thoroughly and potentially with one of those win now moves at the interior defensive line position, and they didn't get it done. Now in hindsight, they'll tell you that D'Amico Autry was that guy, and they liked Tim Settle, and Foley was this guy. And now all of a sudden, Mario Edwards is emerging. But I mean, if you look at it, interior D line was a problem coming into it. Now we've lost D'Amico Autry for 6 weeks. We've lost Kurt Heinisch, who I know isn't a big piece, but he's definitely a rotational piece, to IR for 4 weeks. Tim Settle missed the bulk of camp, or hell, did he miss all of camp? I can't remember how much he missed. So
he missed the bulk of it, especially the last.
So when you talk about interior defensive line, the biggest splash they made, D'Amico Autry ain't playing. One of their rotational pieces, Kurt Heinisch, ain't playing. And then Tim Settle, a guy that they tried to sell to us, I think, with how many snaps or how many starts he had in the NFL, hadn't shown us. We hadn't seen anything, right? So he's getting a late start. So I'm more concerned about the up the middle stuff. Mario Edwards is very, very promising. I like Mario Edwards from a standpoint of penetrating and adding to that pass rush. I don't know how much I like Mario Edwards as it pertains to stopping the run. We'll see how he lands there. But the defensive line, interior defensive line, is still my number one concern. And then you get to the second level where the linebackers sit, and I really like Azeez Al-Shaair. Hell, as it pertains to stopping the run, I like Toa Toa. But if the D-line can't hold up in front of you, you're not going to be able to roam. It's going to be tough to play with D-linemen in your lap. It's going to be tough to play against offensive lines that can get to the second level immediately. And that could potentially be a problem. And now, all of a sudden, Christian Harris is not going to be ready for the start of the season. He's out for at least a month. And you look up, and now you've lost your speed backer. You've lost the backer that you feel like the guy in space, whether it be with a Jonathan Taylor or a tight end or one of these quarterbacks like Anthony Richardson, he gives you a chance. He can go out there and get that tackle for a loss instead of missing that tackle or not having a chance and that guy going and getting 10 or 15 yards. And so, Ron, I'm big concerned about the interior of this defense, the gut of this defense, from guard, center, guard, across the middle right there. That's on the defensive side of the ball, that's going to be – That's going to be where my eyes are week one. And it's no easy task because the Colts are coming.
Yeah, to me, D'Amico makes me feel a lot better about him being able to figure it out over a short term, right? This feels like this is going to be anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. with Autry comes back in 6 weeks. The hope is that Christian Harris is back at that time. And listen, it is a big miss. Like, this is one of the best defensive players on your team and one of the guys you brought in and you paid pretty good money as a guy who had 11 and a half sacks last year and a guy who could play inside and out. Clearly plans of what you wanted to do. But I think, and I've said this since he's gotten here, I think D'Amico Ryans right now, today, is a top five defensive coach this league.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And we saw him hide, as I said earlier, Tavier Thomas for about 8 weeks until, obviously just couldn't anymore. And I think he could hide and get away and move this for a month and a half or so. Mm-hmm. Now, if this is over the course of the year, at some point, that stuff starts to come up. And the way the schedule shakes up, a lot of those teams that you would have concerns about with their offensive minds, their quarterbacks, and what they can do are a little bit later on in the schedule. So I think the D'Amico factor is a big deal of the concern level being a little bit lower for me, because I think he could probably hide some of the deficiencies. All right, coming up, let's talk to our guy Brandon Scott with the Texans Report, as he was out there today. And we're getting close to to NFL football, real football, preseason out of the way, regular season about to get underway for the Texans. We'll get his thoughts on the roster, the cuts, and everything and more as we continue live right here.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
On the drive.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It is 4:40 on a Wednesday. That means it is Texans report time. Quick update here as we got you covered right here with the Astros. They continue to lead 6-0. Spencer Arrighetti continues to be in line with a no-hitter. He's got two outs here in the sixth inning.
Makes us all nervous.
Has surrendered three walks. He's gotten is in the tough part of this lineup that Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, part of the lineup, and still no-hitter at this point. Those of you. You don't talk about it. You can look at each other or nod, dance, spin, whatever. You don't talk about it. These would be the dudes to talk about it. Leave it to Ron to jinx the no-hitter. For me personally, I'm an adult, and I can.
My help comes from the Lord.
I don't believe in curses or whatever that is. So, I mean, I'm going to tell you what's happening. He's throwing a no-hitter. I'm not going to sit here and just.
You're an adult, but are you a real baseball fan, Ron?
Sure. Yeah. So is Todd Callis, who I'm certain is saying it all over.
No. So you don't follow them then when this is happening? Because they refuse to say it. That's their policy.
Sure, Todd Callis.
And they're. No. He's absolutely not saying it.
Sure, he's one of them. Who's saying it?
No, he's not. He's 100%. It's a thing here at the station how he's been made fun of here on 610 because he won't say it because they placate to the chats and the YouTubes and the sure. And the Twitter mobs of people who don't want you to say
it. I'm sure he's saying it. They're leading 6-0. And yes, I'm going to tell you what's happening.
I'm on
the
your
biggest,
side here.
The
bro.
Biggest part of the game is we're seeing the young pitcher, Spencer Arrighetti, throwing a no-hitter, and I'm not going to placate to you, Champ Slice. I'm not. I'm going to tell the news. But also the news, as you were down there today, the Texans have gotten down to 53, and the big conversation for us, and we can go over other things more with today, some of the practice squad guys that came back, but I'm wondering, were you surprised about the Noah Brown thing?
Yeah. No, to me, it was okay. a it was a I wouldn't say a big surprise, but surprising enough. And I thought more than anything, it told you, or it kind of showed their hand of what they were doing elsewhere at that position. Like, I thought the Noah Brown cut was basically a domino effect of telling you what receivers were going to be on the team. Because I didn't think they were in a position, for as rich as they are at wide receiver, I did not feel like the Texans were in a position to be cutting Noah Brown and Xavier Hutchinson, or cutting Noah Brown and John Metchie. So to me, it meant that at least one of those guys was safe. And more than likely, if it was Noah Brown, who a lot of us thought was guy number four that they were getting rid of, then that those other two guys, those younger two guys, were more than likely going to be on the team. And obviously that played out.
You know, it's interesting in hindsight, looking back, this explains Robert Woods and John Metchie being in the huddle so much with the with C.J. Stroud, like leading up to that joint practice with the Rams. It explains, not that there really doesn't need to be an explanation for Xavier Hutchinson. He's playing, he's doing what a depth receiver needs to do, playing well in preseason games from jump, practicing like a beast, playing all the special teams. So it just now, knowing that, hey, in their mind, for whatever reason, Noah Brown was not going to be part of this football team. Yep. And so they needed those guys to get work, because the fourth and fifth receiver, definitely the fourth, but if not the fourth and fifth receiver on this football team, Skeezy, is going to be an important role to the offense, not to special teams, to the offense.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, and I would even take it further. Like, I'm glad that both of those guys made the team. I'm comfortable, especially in the roles that they're going to play. It's not like you're asking them to be a number two or number three guy. You got those guys already. But if you need to, the way you had to rely on Noah Brown in, say, the Cincinnati game, or, you know, either of those games where he had the Tampa game, even the New Orleans game that wasn't the big stat game for him, but he came up with some pretty big plays for them in that game. Can you rely on those guys to come up with big plays, and in some cases, even if they got to, carry you the way that Noah Brown did? I mean, Nick Caserio talked about it this morning, where he practically won him a couple of games almost single-handedly. Do you feel like Xavier Hutchinson or John Metchie is at that level yet, or that they can perform at that level? I like to think that they can. I hope that they can, but we have not seen that. So it's cool that they made the team, but it is going to be time now, to me, for them to step up.
Yeah, I mean, that's big. I think if anybody, if I had the most confidence in the ability to do that, it would probably be Xavier Hutchinson right now.
He should be.
Yeah.
But I like all of those guys in the role that they're going to play, I think, to your point.
If I'm playing it based off of
what we've seen
and what the Texans are actually doing, the fact that Xavier Hutchinson, when they needed to have yards, he was a lot of times, you know this, Clint, their first read. And that was, to me, early on, the concern with John Metchie. Was like, man, John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson are out there, and they are favoring Xavier Hutchinson in terms of the game plan, the first read, who they're targeting. I mean, that stood out to me early on. Yeah. Now, obviously, John Metchie came along there toward the end, and they both get to be on the team. But, yeah, I'm expecting another step, if you will, from both of those guys.
The other big story, we were just talking about Christian Harris going down, and I'm curious your comfort level right now with the linebacker situation with Christian Harris at least 4 weeks out.
I think that you said it properly, that they don't have another guy like that, and I don't know how you just ignore that. That doesn't mean that it's, you know, the world's coming to an end and they're not going to be able to withstand it. Other guys are going to have to step up, and I think they have some capable guys, but we can't sit here and pretend like they got another guy like Christian Harris. It would be a similar thing, I think, in a different vein, if they were to lose Azeez Al-Shaair. Like, they got other guys that can play middle linebacker. I don't know if they've got an elite leader or a dude that they've got confidence in the way that they've got confidence in Azeez Al-Shaair. Likewise, in terms of the athleticism and the athletic ability, they don't have another guy that can replicate, at least from what I've seen so far, that can replicate what Christian Harris was able to give you on the back end of the season. So I think that's got to be a valid concern. The thing that Clint was hitting on earlier about the defensive line, like, that's even a question. And how does that impact your linebacker play? Yeah. Like, it's going to have a domino effect. We got to see it.
What about the running back room? I think this, and when it, all of this matters to the team's success, But I think the biggest, B. Scott, the, I think the most noticeable, if you will, from a fan sitting in the stands is going to be, what does the number two running back look like? Like, what is it Cam? Is it Damian? Does Damian look good? Does he not look good? Is it enough carries to even matter? You know, what does that look like, and how does that play out? And now that we know that they both made the team, what does that look like in your mind?
Since everything else on the offense seems mostly settled, I think we'd all agree on that. For the most part, this offense is set. I mean, even roster-wise, the conversation we're having is mostly set. It is the conversation about the offense. Who is running back number two? And to make it even a little bit more interesting, like, we know what Joe Mixon is. He's a known commodity. If he's out there, he's obviously their top back. We got a little age and wear and tear on him. Wasn't fully healthy in the preseason and during camp. Something happened to Joe Mixon that makes this conversation even more prevalent. Mm-hmm. Because we're not just talking about who's running back number two.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about who's running back number one. And the eye test, I feel like, tells all of us that it should be Cam Akers. Based off of their actions and the way that they've spoken, it makes you feel like perhaps Damian Pierce has a shot at that. And so I'm not exactly sure how they're going to navigate this, but it will definitely be interesting to see what is the pecking order for the running back room.
I don't know what to think of this thing. It is the most intriguing, one of the most intriguing things for me in this game coming up against the Colts is who is it? Because one hand, like, if I look at what happened with Davis Mills last year, because I do think when we see any kind of depth chart, if they do one of them unofficial depth charts, I think Damian Pierce will be the second back.
Absolutely, he will.
But I don't know if Damian Pierce is playing the Davis Mills role from last year, where until we need to actually have a second quarterback, let's go get Case. Or are they dead serious? Are they dead serious? Because I can't understand why Cam Akers was returning kicks.
I'm glad
with
you,
2 minutes.
I'm
left.
Glad you mentioned Case, because let's do this exercise. Remember this time last year, we thought Damian Pierce was running back number one, and he was at the time, in the moment. So the same way, and I hate to even wish this or sound like I'm wishing this or speaking this on Damian Pierce. I'm rooting for the dude like I think most people are. But the same way he lost his starting job last year, we've already seen in camp and in the preseason a dude that looks like he's coming for his number two job this year. So could it be back-to-back years?
Yeah, but
where,
how long did it take for them to finally longer give
than
it
we
up?
Wanted, no, I understand what you're what saying. I mean? Longer than we wanted it to.
Like, they gave him every opportunity. Do you think they've said to themselves, we've given Damian every – because that's not what D'Amico says. But you think internally they've said, we've given him every opportunity to where it is time that Akers is that guy? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it could play out in a similar way. Like, and hopefully it doesn't take as long.
We've been doing a quicker way.
No. In a quicker way, but I'm not promising that. You know, we saw last year how it played out. It could play out the exact same way.
I just don't know how much room there is for error, margin of error there is on this particular schedule. You mess around and that Colts game either be tighter than it should be or you lose it, and you look back and there's 6, 7, 8 carries, couple of drives where you turn around and handed the ball to Damian Pierce. Instead of Cam Akers, after what we all saw. And look, they're watching the same film I'm watching, guys. I hate to be the former player that leans into film so hard, but I got to on this one. Those are great football. I'm talking about great football minds over there. There's no way they watch the same film I watch and go, yeah, we're going to give Damian one more chance. But not when it matters the most.
But the damnedest thing about it, though, Clint, is that you don't have to have as sophisticated of a football eye as they do, or as you do,
right,
or as any
sure
of us
yeah,
do,
no, right,
to
I agree.
See that.
It's that simple.
Blind eyes can see, Clint. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just very plain and simple. And I love just keep it plain for me. Keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And you can look at them and at their production and how they move and how they react. It's different.
Yeah.
It is absolutely different. And we've talked about this. Not wanting to waste downs. Damian Pierce, as much as I hate to say it because I like the guy, handing the ball off to him feels like a wasted down right now. And how many downs do you feel like you're willing to waste when this is your opportunity this year?
When all the proof is on the tape so far that you shouldn't, you know, at week one, if it doesn't go as planned, that's going to be a tough Monday show. It's going to be a tough reaction Monday.
It's just if they agree with you.
that they've seen on all of it. Like, that's the only thing is if they agree with you. Now, listen, they're all professional liars, and they say things that they need to say, and I don't know, ill will too. Sometimes you have to protect or to protect things or keep things in. But what they've said is they haven't seen enough. I mean, you can't judge him on eight carries. We've heard D'Amico say that multiple times.
Well, and also,
and so that I, but I don't know if that's legit or not.
Well, you brought this up. This was the Giants game. We were in the press box together. You brought this up that you wanted to see him either with a different line, with the line holistically, or somebody else performing with the line that he had to deal with, because you didn't see a lot of that. Like, okay, maybe they're looking for the chance to have him out there with the real guys on the offensive line. I don't know. It doesn't seem like, just from watching, that it's just an offensive line problem. It seems like it's a decision-making problem, a vision problem with Damian Pierce, and you hope he figures it out. Because he's going to be given – I do believe he's going to be given a chance, 100%.
Oh, yeah. I am not 100% sure who's gonna get that ball when it's time for Joe Mixon series to take off.
I'd be pleasantly surprised if it's Cam Akers. I said this. Look, it'll be a problem for me if anybody – other than Joe Mixon gets carries over Cam Akers. So I think we're going to have problems.
We may. That's Brandon Scott every single week with us. Texans Report every Wednesday, 4:40. Stay tuned for us, or stay tuned for that each week. You can find all of his work at sportsradio610.com as well. As we continue, a little 5 o'clock fire, we'll get you updated in what's going on with your Houston Astros. They are responding big time, and looks like they are going to salvage this sweep. They're up 7-0. And Spencer Urgetti having a special, special performance thus far. 6 innings, no hits. No hits though thus far. We'll keep you updated on what's going on there. All of that as we continue next, right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.